Turn with me to today's scripture reading, which you'll find in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. This is on page 946 in the Pew Bibles. Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 10. Galatians is a letter written to one of Paul's problem churches. This was a region where people had come to preach a different gospel. One that said that you had to obey Jewish law in order to be fully saved. And a lot of this letter is spent in Paul denying that proposition and instead proposing something else that he wants to say is more important. The conclusion of this letter in chapter 6, then, is instructive as it is Paul's final words to the Galatian people on how it is they can find the life that God desires for them. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Hear God's word to you. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And may God add God's blessing to his reading of this holy word. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come and be among us. Show us what we need to see in this passage today, that we may live our lives in praise to you, that our obedience would be a sweet savor before you, that we may find the meaning that you have for us and want us to commit our lives to, so that we may know your true abundant life. Keep our eyes and ears open, O Holy Spirit, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I need to warn you. I pace. I can't help myself. It's just what happens. And what I'm told is if I do what I usually do, which is to come down here and kind of walk up and down the aisle, it means the people in the cheap seats can't see me. So I'm probably going to stay up there today, just so you'll know. That's first thing. Second thing, I want to tell all of you how thankful the faculty, the staff, and the students of Forman Christian College are to those of you here in Noroten Presbyterian Church. You give a lot of money every year, and I want to tell you some of the things that that goes for. For example, if you realize that one student scholarship at Forman Christian College, total cost tuition for 1 year is $1,250. That's not a month, that is for the year. Can you imagine how far the money you give every year for scholarships goes when you can educate a Pakistani young person with Western style and Western quality education for $1,250 a year? You are doing an incredible work in Pakistan through the money that you give. You've done incredible work through the faculty positions that you've helped sponsor. You've done incredible work through our operating fund. We can't operate at Forman without the money that comes from the United States. So your faithfulness makes sure that that place stays open. So I wanted to tell you thank you, because I know that my colleagues in Pakistan and my students feel the exact same way towards you. I'm not going to talk too much about Foreman in my sermon this morning, because I think that sermons should be reserved for the Word. But I am going to be doing this special talk today after the third service, and if you want to hear more, then you should be there. And if you're not there, well, okay. You'll even have a chance to ask questions later. The Apostle Paul tended to write things to people because he thought they needed to. By the way, choir, you can't do crossword puzzles, because I'm looking at you two. I've been in the choir before. I know what goes on. The Apostle Paul didn't write stuff just to have stuff written down. The reason why the Apostle Paul would write things is because he thought that people needed to hear them. And certainly that's what we find out in Galatians chapter, or in the entire book of Galatians. And then at the very end of that letter, in chapter 6, he begins to write to them ways to bring it home, ways for them to understand what it is he's been teaching them in chapters 1 through 5 can actually take root in their lives. And we're going to talk about how that affects us in a minute. But first of all, I want you to think back a few months to the end of October. Everybody thinking back, end of October. You need to nod your head so I know that you're... Okay, there we go. That's when you start seeing these commercials come on the TV. And the first one you see is of little children who look at you like this. And they're a lot thinner than I am, and they look really hungry. And your heart just kind of, you know, you feel the pull, and they say, for only 25 cents a day, you can feed this child. And they go on and they talk about all the things that you can do with it. And you start reaching for your wallet. And then the next commercial comes on, and it's of a little kid, and he's got a, cleft lip and palate all the way back, nothing there. And boy, not only do they look hungry, they look really sad, too. And they talk about what a terrible life they have. They never have the fistula corrected and all that stuff. And so by the end of that commercial, you were reaching to feed the hungry kid, but now you're going to help the other kid repair. And then something else happens. And something else happens. And then the political commercials start up. And these are things you really care about. And then, because it's the end of the year, the phone starts to ring. A lot. More than it usually does, right? Because it's end of the year giving time. And so people like Friends of Foreman Christian College call you and they say, all right, it's time for you to, to really help us. We're at the end of the year. And suddenly what you find out is you are beginning to get compassion fatigue, right? In fact, that's when you start saying, enough already. I had it. I don't want any more of this stuff happening. I want to look at the caller ID before I pick up the phone, because I know it's going to be somebody else wanting money from me. Enough already. And it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. And eventually what you find yourself doing is beginning to resent the fact that there are all of these causes out there, and all of them want to put their hand in your pocket. And it's easy to get there. It really is easy to get there. And I know in a community like this one, where there are lots of people who are well-to-do, people never leave you alone. People never leave you alone. So what do you do? How do you survive this kind of onslaught? Well, the first way you survive it is by understanding that it's nothing new. Remember how I was just saying Paul never wrote something just because? He always had a purpose for writing it. When he says in verse 9 this, let us not become weary in doing good. What do you think that means? It means people were already getting weary in doing good. They were beginning to say, you know what? If I go outside and one more armless beggar comes up to me and asks me to put a penny in his mouth, I'm going to clock him one. Because if you think that you get asked a lot for money now, imagine if you lived in an era before there was any modern medical care. And every single scratch that someone got on their hand could mean that the hand or the arm could be lopped off because there was no way to stop the infection. Imagine how many blind people you would see because of trichomiasis and all these other kinds of diseases that now don't bother us anymore because we've got all kinds of cures for them. And all of the birth defects and all of the things that happened because there was no decent medical care. These towns were filled with people who were out begging. You couldn't walk more than a couple of feet without some horribly maimed individual coming up to you and saying, please, for the love of God. And then you'd get appeals from, like, Paul. I mean, you do know, right, that the entire book of Romans is a fundraising letter. You didn't know that's where it started. Sorry, you know, it was the Apostle Paul. He was writing to the Roman church to qualify himself and then to say, you know what, the people in Jerusalem, the original church is starving to death. And they need help. Can you please send them some money? It's been going on forever. Why is that? Because there is no end to human need. So we need to reconcile ourselves to this fact that no matter how long time goes on, there's always going to be need in the world. When you live in Pakistan, you encounter need every day. My house, the bell rang all day long with people needing money for surgery, people needing money for drugs, good drugs, people needing money for food, people needing money so they didn't get thrown out of their house. This was all day long, every day. You'd go out into the market, and over there, healthcare is bad, and so there are beggars everywhere, especially maimed children. Maimed children that people buy from their parents, and then they send them out as professional beggars. And you see these poor children, and you realize their life is already done. They're probably not going to make it to 15 because they're going to get run over by a car or something else, and your heart goes out to them. You get to a place like Pakistan, and you understand that needs are everywhere, and you feel your heart start to get smaller and drier and harder because you just think enough already. Hasn't this been enough? And that hardness comes over your mind and hardness comes over your heart and you want to close your hand. Is that what God wants? As they're talking, as Paul is talking in Galatians chapter 6 about what it is we should be living our lives like, he says, you know, when people sin really bad, like the people have done in all these things that I've been lining out in Galatians 1 through 5, the temptation is to say, well, I'll forgive you, but first, and run them through the wheel. We really want to make sure that they're sorry before we take them back. And Paul says, no, that's not it. Instead, forgiveness should be gentle. So that when we forgive, we do so as Jesus forgave us. It's not like Jesus said, all right, come here, you're going to get a dope slap. And you get a dope slap, and then that's how you get forgiven, right? No, Jesus walks to Calvary with the cross on his back and dies for you and says, you take the benefit. Here, it's for you. Doesn't count cost. doesn't say, do you have any idea how many of you there are, and you want me to bear all of your sins? Enough already! Instead, he knows our need. And he knows how deep and how wide the chasm is between ourselves and God. And he comes and gives us everything to fill that chasm so that we can cross over and be enveloped in the Father's love. Sisters and brothers in Christ, I can tell you what your money does in a place like Pakistan. I can tell you what your prayers do at Foreman Christian College. I'll tell you just one story of a young man named Shajil. Shajil, when he was 17 years old, his father ran off because he was caught in a bad land deal and owed far more money than he had, leaving his mother and he and his five sisters and brothers to fend for themselves. To this day, they don't know where he is. And he was planning on coming to Foreman Christian College, and he said, you know, I was going to come, but now I got to work. And if you think that the job possibilities for someone with only a high school education in the United States are bad, wait until you see what it's like in Pakistan. He knew that he was going to be subjected to a life of grinding, low-wage labor just for his family to eat and have some place to live. But because of you, because of Narotan Presbyterian Church, we were able to look at Shajil and to say, son, you come to school because you are our brother in Christ. You are part of the household of faith. We want to see you succeed. And so we gave him his tuition money and a little bit beside to help his family live, and he was able to come to college. And he thought, I'll do this for 2 years, and then once I've got enough college to go out and get a little bit better job, I'll leave. And he told us that, and we said, absolutely not. You will finish your degree. And he did. His junior year, his sister got old enough to come to college. We paid for that too, because we knew that she would have no chance in life without a decent education. Now, Shajil has graduated, and he is a statistician with our research department at Foreman Christian College, paying for the other four sisters and brothers to come to college themselves. You see, this is how money and giving works in Pakistan. If I give money here in the United States to somebody and I say, here, kid, go to college, and they say, thank you, and so they go and they graduate and they become a success and they send me a thank you note and then they go on to bigger and greater things, and that's kind of the American dream. The Pakistani dream is that someone in your family gets something good, because you know what will happen as soon as they can, they turn around and share it with so if you give $1,250 for a scholarship, it probably turns into $7,000 or $8,000 or $10,000 or $12,000 or $15,000 because of the amount of benefit that they keep on turning back in to their friends and to their relatives and to people in their village and to everyone else. You sow that one seed, and it's not like you sow one apple seed and you get back one apple, right? You put the apple seed in the ground and it becomes a tree, and year after year after year, there's benefit from it. That's what giving in mission is all about. I know that it's tough, and I know that no matter how well-to-do you are or are not, there is no way that you can support every single cause for mission that comes to you, including Foreman Christian College. So all I can say there is that you need to find out what God is calling you to do and to be faithful to that calling. But sisters and brothers in Christ, Do remember that as we sow, we also reap. We can sow to the flesh and fleshly desires, and then we get back stuff that rots, which is what that word means in Greek in here. Or we can say, Father, what now? Call me to the next thing. Show me the next need. Tell me how it is that I cannot become weary in doing well, but how it is that I can become faithful in doing well. Show me where to go next. Show me who to support next. And suddenly, our attitude, even if it was enough already, becomes, I'm ready. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.